Father, we thank you that we can bow down. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for eternal life. We thank you for enabling us to share that good news with others and how desperately they need it. And as Paul would say, I'm indebted. I am a debtor to the unbelievers because you've given us so much, Lord, and there are those around us who have not received that. And how can we be comfortable in that? So give us guidance as we look at another psalm this morning. And Lord, before we go into the psalms, just wanted to remember what you have done for us on the cross. And now Passion Week coming up. Sunday will be Palm Sunday. And really, it's the fulfillment of the prophecy of the 483 years made to Nehemiah. Unbelievable that almost 500 years beforehand it would have been, well, it was prophesied 2,500 years before, but so awesome, Lord, to know you are God. And you tell us what's going to happen so that when it happens, we know that it is of you. And Lord Jesus, the last thing you did there before the crucifixion was, as you got the disciples together, you said, to do this in remembrance of me. And so, Lord, you have told the church to do this in remembrance of me. And as we gather, we want to take the body and the bread in remembrance of you. As you said, do this as often as you eat of it and drink of this. You proclaim my death until I come. And so we want to do that today, Lord. This is our last little meeting in this room that you have graced us with for so many years. And you have met us so faithfully always. And we want to thank you, Lord. But we do want to remember what's behind it all, and that is your love for us as demonstrated on the cross. And so we want to just share in the bread and the cup this morning as we get started. And guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your notes if you would. Let's just begin by singing In Remembrance of Me, and I'll pass out the elements, and then when we're done, we will share them together.
Body given for you. This is the cup that holds the blood of a new covenant. This is forgiveness, simple and true. This is the way that I have made for you. Before you eat, you dream, take a long look inside and tell me what you see. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the bread of you. my body given for you. This is the cup that holds the blood of a new covenant. This is forgiveness, simple and true. This is the way that I have made for you.
The Apostle Paul would write in the first letter to the Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So we want to proclaim that this morning. He hasn't come yet. We expect him any time, but he hasn't come yet. So we want to proclaim that once more. And so if you can peel the top part off and take out symbolically, this little piece here is symbolic for the bread, and we can share it together. And these were the instructions. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And do this, do this, do this, do this in remembrance of me. His love, which was demonstrated on the cross, is the standard, is the place, is where it all happened, or we wouldn't be here today. Not just dying on the cross, but 3 days later being resurrected from the dead. Because without that, we have nothing. But we have life. Eternally promised, as he conquered death, as he conquered sin. And so this is where we come to him and say, the body that you gave, your broken body, pierced, beaten, hanging in the darkness there for 3 hours, and as bad as the physical pain was, we know that he took God's wrath for your sin and for my sin and for all the sin of the world. That would have been unfathomable, just mine alone, or just yours alone, but not just that, for everyone. Just think about it. Just today, not all in history, but just today, we got 8 billion people on the face of the earth, and they're all sinners. But here we are, sinners to be sure, but saved by grace. So we want to take this in remembrance of what he did for us. So as you partake of this, if there's any thing that's separating you at all from the Lord, confess it. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all iniquity. And we don't want any separation between us and the Lord. Father, as we examine ourselves, we want to come clean. And we just want to remember what you have done for us. And all members of the same family, members of the body of Christ, let us partake in remembrance of what you did for us. Let us eat. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." And we remember how the Jews for 1,500 years had been praying for and looking for the new covenant. with great anticipation. They were not looking for the Messiah as he came. They were not looking for this being the new covenant. They thought it would be horses, chariots, armies, power to overthrow Rome, and all on the physical side. And when he held this up and said, "This is the new covenant," they must have gasped with just this glass of wine, or this container of wine, this chalice of wine. But we know what this stands for. The old covenant had no ability to take away our sin, no ability to save you. Could cover it with blood of bulls and goats, but had to be done over and over and over. They, you know, you had to sacrifice lambs every single day, every morning and every evening, day in and day out. And you had the feast days and you had the Day of Atonement and all these other things on top of that. But nothing would take away your sin. Nothing would totally cleanse your conscience. But it's the blood. It's the blood. The life is in the blood. And there's no remittance of sin without the shedding of blood. So we want to remember the blood, his blood, the blood of God shed through a man to undo what Adam had done and to pay the price for our sin and to be our eternal high priest. Had to be a man, but he had to be God to be divine to forgive sin. He had to be God to be resurrected from the dead, or the power of the resurrection. And so here we are, as we hold this in our hands. This is why we are saved. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood. So we want to just be receiving this in thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for your blood shed through your Son, that we might live, that we have been forgiven. You've taken our sin upon yourself, Lord Jesus, and you paid the price. Therefore, you could forgive us. Our sins have been paid for. And not only that, but you justified us as just as if we had never sinned, and our slate is clean. You see no record of sin on our account. And yet you see on our account the righteous robes of Christ Jesus that you have done for us. And here we have the standing as you look at us, saved, saved, saved by the blood. And so as we receive this, "Do this in remembrance of me," you said. May we remember. May we remember. Let us drink together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today we have the only psalm, I think, I'm not sure, but the only psalm, at least, is attributed to Moses. So we've got a Moses psalm or a Moses song. And we know Moses had the Moses song at in the wilderness march. And we know in the Revelation, we read that they sang the song of Moses. However many songs he wrote, I don't know. But this Psalm 90 is attributed to Moses. And it's a psalm, I think, with the backdrop of the 40-year wilderness march, of all of the difficulties, of all the hardships, of all of the unbelievable things that they went through, is kind of the backdrop of this. We don't know exactly when it was written. Was it written after the 40-year march, or was it written during the 40-year march? We don't know. After the 40-year march, Moses died, so I'm not sure we'd have it much after that. But as we read this, we see the contrast between the eternal nature of God and the frailty of man. And we're talking here about life here in these bodies. We can't be talking about our soul and our spirit, because that's eternal. We're in the image of God, right? But we're talking about all of these similes here about, like, grass dying and about after, you know, it's washed away and one thing and another. And so let's just see what it says here. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Wow. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That'd be a good place to stop, wouldn't it? I mean, I can't even get my hands around that, let alone anything more. But he is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. Isn't that wonderful? He's been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Verse 3, you turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. Now, what's that talking about? Well, destruction means turning to dust. And why do we turn to dust? We came from dust, right? Why do we turn from dust? Three letters, S-I-N. Three letters, S-I-N, I believe. And so the reason that we all die in these bodies is because of Adam's sin. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. So we are to come back. Some look at this as saying we're also talking to Jesus to return to earth, and that could well be. But you say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight. So when's Jesus coming back, if we want to look at that part of it? Well, we don't know. Now, we've got all these similes in ahead of us here. There's about five of them, four or five of them. And people like to say that's not a simile, that's a fact. Well, it's not a fact. It's a comparison. It's a contrast. So the first one is 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. That does not say that one of our days, or in other words, it does not say that 1,000 years to him is one day to us. It's like that, though, because he's eternal and we're very finite. Like a watch in the night. It doesn't say it is a watch in the night, but it's like a watch in the night. The watch in the night is short term, right? And then you carry them away like a flood. It doesn't say it is a flood, it's like a flood. So every place we've got a like in here, that's a comparable term. They are like a sleep. Think of sleep. You know, those of you who had a good night's rest last night, you closed your eyes, and the next thing you opened your eyes, and it's morning, right? And you didn't have any sensation of the past of time. Now, if you woke up 100 times last night, then I hope you went to the Lord every single time. You say, thank you for waking me up, Lord. I can spend time with you until you put me to sleep again. But they are like a sleep. And then in the morning, and they're like grass which grows up. Now, you've never seen the hills of Southern California greener than they are right now. But what do you think, what color will they be in about 3 months, 4 months, 5 months from now? And you'll say, what is that beautiful, beautiful? Oh, these roses. These roses are such a beautiful creation, but they have a very short life. You pick a rose in 3 or 4 days, depending on the variety, maybe a week maximum, it's all wilted away, right? And so that's what our life is in these bodies compared to him. They're like grass which grows up in the morning, it flourishes. It grows up, yes. In the evening, it's cut down and withered. So we're here for just an instant of time, really, on the overall scheme of things. Oh, I've been around many years. Well, let's say you're around 150 years. Right? I don't think anybody's going to be around 150 years. But that's nothing compared to eternity, right? It isn't even on the map. I mean, it's just below the margin. It hasn't gotten there yet. So that's God. He's eternal. Now, we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. I really believe this is Old Testament, more than New Testament. I don't think you and I have been consumed by his anger. I haven't anyway, and by his wrath we are terrified. Yes, I'm terrified by his awesomeness in terms of standing in awe and reverence of him, but I don't have to be concerned about anything else because Jesus has done it all on the cross. He took my suffering. He took all of the wrath that was going to be poured out on me, and he paid it 2,000 years ago. So I haven't experienced that. But at any rate, the psalmist here, Moses, think of him, I don't know if this is 38 years into the wilderness march or 1 year into it or however long into it, but in that howling desert, unbelievable what they went through because of their sin, their unbelief. He would have had them there in 11 days, and they took 40 years for that march. And they all had to die before they got there that were 20 years and above when they left Egypt because of their unbelief. Oh, how costly unbelief is. Out of the 8 billion people, how many are filled with unbelief today? I don't know, but a lot of them, right? And think what that is costing them, that unbelief. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. We know all sin is open before him. Maybe secret to those around you or others and so forth here, but not to him. Our secret sins in the light of your countenance, in the light of your face. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. Again, think of the wilderness march and where they were. They believed, the believers believed the Messiah would come. But man, when you've been in slavery for 400 years in Egypt and now you get out and you go into a 40-year wilderness march, it doesn't seem like very good news, does it? Our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. Ah, glad this life is over. Yeah. Now, some people you see today are acting like that, but they don't know what they're talking about. Oh, I've had such a hard life. You don't believe the life I've had. Well, think about being in the wilderness march for 40 years and coming out of slavery every day for your ancestors for 400 years. In this country here, we are so spoiled, we think, you know, oh, it's rained quite a bit now. I hope it stops raining because it's just tough in my life to have all this rain now, you know. Rather than say, thank you for answering our prayers for rain. Now here's a comparable. The days of our life are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Now in this group, we've got a few that are really strong. We've got even more that have reason of strength, or whatever it is here. 70 years, if reason by strength, they are 80 years. Yet listen to this. Phil, listen to this. This Phil, not that Phil. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. In yourself, what do you have to boast about? Nothing. Oh, let me tell you what I did yesterday. Oh, man, I did this and I did that. I did, oh, isn't that great? Nothing apart from him. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. I just think about all the great men in history that Billy Graham and others have loved so much, and yet, like right now, they just are kind of like have flown away, right? Not their work, no, not the fruit and all, no. But their life, or the Spurgeon, you know, he used to be so impressed, well, I still am. He starts preaching at 19. I think, wow, he's going to preach a long time. Well, he died in his 50s, so what, 30 plus few years? And all of those wonderful things he did, it's done, really. I mean, it's all recorded, not recorded necessarily in audio, but it's writing, it's written down. But nevertheless, it's soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger, Lord? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. I don't think for the Christian today it's very easy for us to really sense God's wrath in the way that you might have sensed it before Christ paid the price. Because before Christ paid, you were believing, looking at what's going to happen, but you didn't know when, and you didn't know what was going to happen to you when you took your last breath, because he hadn't come yet. And we've got it so easy compared to that, don't we? We really do. But here is the first exhortation. So, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. One commentator said, we are more anxious to number the stars than we are to really count our days. I mean, numbering stars, you know, how many trillion are there? Well, that's all good and interesting, but it doesn't have anything to do with a day that we have today, and if it's tomorrow, it's tomorrow, because we don't have many. We don't have many. And when you are in this category by reason of strength of living 70 years or 80 years, you got even less, you know, really, isn't it? So this is a great day we've got here. We've got today. So teach us to number our days. Why? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. So how are you going to use today? Is there something on your heart and mind that is higher than doing God's perfect will? Is there something you're more concerned about getting done today that is not in accordance with what the Lord really wants you to do? Well, you don't know how busy my schedule is, man. I've got all these things. I've got to get this done, and I can't be here very long because I've got to go there. I've got to go here. And here we're running around like little, not like ants, because ants are intelligent. We're running around. I guess we're running around like ants with their heads chopped off. I don't know exactly what that is, but that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. Oh my, that prayer has been answered in terms of the Messiah, hasn't it? Have compassion on your servants. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy. And I could just see them in that wilderness march, trudging along and, you know, not making any progress, not gaining any territory for 40 years until the very end anyway. And what a prayer that would be. Satisfy us. I'm getting tired. Satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Now, we've been told in the New Testament to rejoice and be glad our days, haven't we? Especially because we have much to rejoice about and much to be glad about, right? So are you glad today? Are you glad today? If you are, what are you glad about? Are you glad about what he has done for you and where you are? Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us. Boy, has he done that. The years in which we have seen evil. Now, we can go down that road in a little different direction because we see evil in some ways increasing, don't we, in these latter days. But nevertheless, we know where we're going, and we know the promises the church is going to be taken out. It's not going to go through the wrath of God. Wrath is not appointed to those who are his. And now another exhortation here. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. So, do you see what he's doing in your life? Do you see what he's already done? And how it has effect on your children? How that has effect on all those around you? And does your life show his glory? Is what he's done in your life bringing glory to him? And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Do people see the beauty of the Lord in you? Do they see the beauty of the Lord in your life? That's what we're praying for here, it seems to me. And establish the work of our hands for us. That establish, I think, can be translated direct. Direct us, guide us, cause it. And establish the work of our hands for us. That's doing what he wants us to do. The work of our hands. We remember the high priest and the other priests being anointed for the service of the Lord. And one of the things was their ears so they could hear the Lord and not hear the things they shouldn't hear. Another thing was the right thumb. They would anoint the hands to be used for the work of the Lord, right? And so here it is. Establish the work of our hands for us. Are your hand, how sanctified are your hands? What are you touching with your hands? Is it all holy? There's a lot of unholy things out there you can grab onto. One of the big ones is the little cell phone you have in your pocket. Lots of wickedness in that little thing. But there's a lot of good in that too. So we need to be discerning. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes. Establish the work of our hands. So a great prayer. Father, we thank you for this psalm. We do pray you would direct us in your work. You would direct us, establish us in the work, your work through our hands, Lord. May we give these to you. May we give ourselves to you fully and completely from our heart and every member of our body, Lord, but especially here we see in our hands, because that's what we use, the work of our hands, to show others that we're yours and to show kindness and to show the various acts of mercy and compassion that we can in your name give, praying for others, maybe laying hands on them or whatever, but establishing the work of our hands. Help us in that, Lord. And Lord, you've given us the opportunity to come to you in prayer, Lord, to come to you and as led by the Holy Spirit. And so we do not know how to pray as we ought, I believe, but would you lead us and guide us now, Holy Spirit, in these moments of prayer together, praying as we should pray in Jesus' name. Let's pray. So let's just stand and sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. If you can stand, if you don't feel like standing, that's all right. I just think that it's good to stand if you can.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the love of you. Save from wrath and make me pure.
Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? Is for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone.
Father, you are our rock, our eternal rock, the rock of ages. And Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the victory that you have. We thank you for your glory that you've shown us. And we look forward to that day of being glorified. And you've said, Lord, I want these to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, Father. That was your prayer that you desire strongly. And so, oh, we thank you and ever living to make intercession for us, how we thank you for that. So bless your people here today, Lord, each one of us, as we just go forward from this place, and may you just come through every pore of our body, Lord, and it would be just a sweet smelling aroma for you, Lord, to this dark and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.